Welcome to the Olivet Discourses from the Olivet Baptist Church, the Biblical Alternative. I'm Mark Ramsey. The focus of this program is to discuss the issues that affect the life of every human being. While using the Bible as our guide and foundation, we hope that you'll be stimulated by the topics of conversation and willing to apply what you've learned to your life. These discussions might make you change your entire way of thinking and living. Let's begin. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Welcome to the Olivet Discourses here live tonight on KKLA 99.5 FM and 1240 AM KKLA. Thank you for joining us tonight for the Olivet Discourses. For the next 2 hours, we'll discuss very important biblical issues that's confronting us in our community in the Los Angeles area, specifically South Central. Hi, I'm Pastor John, Senior Pastor of the Olivet Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in on the Discourses tonight. Hope that you are comfortable at home, staying out of that cool, cool breeze, Chicago kind of weather out there tonight, but the kind of weather that we're pleased to have. I'm not a doctor, no. My engineer was just kidding when he said, Dr. Coleman, No, I do not have an earned doctor's degree. I leave that for the guys that need that kind of prestige. If you know anything about me, I've never been too hot on titles and things like that because I think that's what distorts men of ministry. As a matter of fact, I have this personal view that if you do not have an earned doctor's degree, and what I mean by earned doctor's degree, meaning that you went to school, you paid for it, I'm talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars earned, that means that you went to the class, you wrote a PhD thesis that meant something, you can qualify your educational analyses that you should not be called doctors. How many of you have pastors that are called doctors and haven't finished high school? That's the issue, or one of the issues that we're going to be faced with today. As you know, we're always having issues, but the issue today is, well, we're going to focus upon those qualities that make for the proper kind of spiritual leadership in a biblically minded ministry. I want you to look at your pastors, your teachers, your leaders, your church, and I guess the question of tonight is, as you focus upon those qualities of spiritual leadership in your church, does those qualities meet the criterion which you hear Pastor John talk about as he goes verse by verse through the scriptures? That is very important for you to understand that. Thank you, Mark. That's very important for you to understand. And listen, let me share some good news with you that's been sitting in some letters this week. Brother Tiger, got your letter. You know what I did? I did a dumb thing. I left all of last week and this week's letters in my brown bag because we switched cars on the way down to the studio tonight. But Brother Tiger, I did get your letter. Let me share with some of you brothers that were in the institution up there when Tiger was up there. Tiger is out working. He's working real hard, making real good. Listen. God releases this brother out of prison. God gives him a job. The brother is making money in an honest, decent profession. And guess what he's doing? He is now supporting the Olivet Discourse Ministry. Can you believe that? Here's a brother that was in prison. God has released him, exonerated him from everything, given him a job, blessed him immensely, and he is sending some of that blessing to us and so that we can do radio. Man, listen, that's just like God. You guys also want to hear something else that's just like God. You know, no one, absolutely no one was supposed to beat the Broncos yesterday, right? But did you hear the words that proceeded out of the mouth of the quarterback of the team that beat the Broncos on live television? Did you hear it? Did you hear what his teammate said? I also understand that the USA's number one team got whipped. Well, Cowboys never was my team. See, my friends, when you think that you're that bad and you're going around braggadociously bragging and boasting, and all of you that lost money, you should have lost money because you have no business coveting in the first place, coveting on a dumb, stupid football game. But the point is, them so-called Cowboys that all you so-called Christians betted on lost. They are not God's team. There's no such thing. But I do love what the quarterback of that team that beat the Broncos said, that that there are a few of us that are believers. And I like what the other team member said about him rallying around their leader, the quarterback, who has a godly mindset. Listen. They're supposed to be upsets, and I hope God continue to upset us with our worldly mindsets. And oh, for those upsets to take place in the church community set before us today. Oh, that would happen. Let's say that you have a computer buff sitting at home somewhere, a friend of yours that you know, and they would like to listen to us. You should inform them that they can listen to the Olivet Discourses from anywhere in the world through the Internet. You can ask them to just go to their computer and type www.kkla.com, and that they can access KKLA's homepage and listen anywhere on Sunday from 10 p.m. to midnight to the Olivet Discourses. I think that's a grand opportunity to let your friends and families and loved ones know that they can hear the discourses through this magnificent technology. I'm so grateful that KKLA has provided that as a means for people to hear the truth of God's Word, especially during the hours from 10 to midnight. Let's say that some of you would like to contact us at the discourses. We would love to hear from you, and if you'd like to do that, you can email to Mark Ramsey here, one of our coordinators here for the show, and you can email him at mramsey@kkla.com, and we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to contact us at Olivet, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number in the 213 area code, and we do want to apologize. Something happened tremendously crazy. We didn't have a phone for almost 2 weeks. They had given our phone number to someone else. Can you believe that? But we're back on the air. That telephone number is 242-8388. 242-VET. We invite you to call us and leave your comments and any questions that you may have about the ministry. Happy New Year to you. We had a great Watch Night service. I want to say to Sister Brown, I listened to David Jeremiah's tape, an excellent tape. As a matter of fact, I made some copies of it, and I mail your copy back to you, dear. And it is an excellent, excellent tape. I gave it to practically all of the deacons in the church. I want them to listen to it, and I really thank you for it. And we also mail you a copy of that little expose that one of the brothers here did on from the Bible Answer Man to you. And so that you can have that. We are grateful for people that really contribute to this ministry. Those of you that contributed this week, there's one gentleman that sent a sizable donation to our ministry. As a matter of fact, it was through that donation that you really helped support us this week for radio. And we are grateful. I just want to apologize again. I did leave the letters, Mark, in my brown bag. And shame, because I do love reading those letters that you sent in. So we're going to have, hopefully next week, letter reading month, and so that we can read the letters that you folks send in. All right, we have some other things to take care of, but we'll do that as we take our station breaks. This is what I'd like to do for the first time, I guess, for this year. We want to start off the year right on our discourses. What are the characteristics, are the qualifications that God is looking for in spiritual leadership in the church today? And if I were to give you a ream of scriptures that indicate what those characteristics or qualifications are for spiritual leadership in a Bible church, I would love for you to call us at 1-888-528-2557 and correspond with us about these characteristics of leadership. And basically, I want you to share with me tonight, why are these characteristics important? Why is it important that the qualifications of leadership in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, why should we have a godly characteristic? Now, I know that appears to be a facetious question, because all of us would like to hold to the idea that every man in ministry is that way. But that's not necessarily true. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 4, it reads like this, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. I'm reading from my laptop, And so I'm reading from that particular version. I could change it, but I'm not. I'll read from that. And it says, and Moses called Mishael. And I want to make sure that I have the right verse here. No, I don't. I have verse 4. Let me go up to verse 3. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. Here's the first question of the night. Since God said that he will be sanctified in them that come near to him, is your teacher, your pastor, your leader, a man that has been sanctified? Now, what sanctified does not mean is, does he speak with or in tongues? Does he fall out? Does he lay hands and all of the sick will recover? That is not being sanctified. That is not the biblical definition of biblical sanctification. When God says that I will be sanctified in them, it merely means that I will be set apart in these men as I set them apart to do a special work of ministry for me that is going to confound, that will literally blow the minds of anyone else that is not sanctified. There are two kinds of men in ministry. And even if we speak about women in teaching ministry and things like that, there are two kinds of women also. There are the truly sanctified and the religious sanctified. Now, there is a grave difference between religious sanctified folk. Have you ever heard people say, I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, I have a problem with that, because if you're truly sanctified, you do not brag on what God is doing in your life. Truly sanctified people never brag. They don't have to brag. Truly sanctified people have been set apart by God, and those of you that are not sanctified will know a sanctified person, because a sanctified person will straighten your act out in a minute and blast you and tear you up. See, truly unsanctified people are the ones that when you go to their church and you don't do what they do, say that they're watching you. I don't need no heathens watching me when I go to an unsanctified church. I'm a sanctified pastor that don't need anybody watching me. See, when you're busy watching somebody else in church, you need to have your mind and focus on God and stop trying to be a devil watcher. You all know what those are? Devil watchers are people that when you go to the church and you don't do what they do, they figure that you are the devil because they cannot control your mind. You've been manipulated by a cult. By a cult. But now let me go to the next verse of Scripture here, because I think that what we need to do is really check out Scripture here. So as we do that, we go to Leviticus chapter 21, verse 6. And it says, they shall be holy unto their God and not profane the name of their God. Now, just let me stop right there at Leviticus 21 and 6. They shall be holy unto their God and not profane the name of their God. Now, when this being holy before God is set forth in the man of God's, let's say, in that area that he operates in, God wants you to be holy before him. He has sanctified, he sets you apart before him, and you do not profane his name. You do not bring shame to his name. You don't drag his name down. You don't get in ministry. Listen, young preacher, you do not get in ministry for money. You do not set your church up and so that you can get a lot of money. You do not profane the name of the Lord in any way that drags his name down. Why? Because you shall be holy unto God. Now, I didn't say full of holes with your doctrine. I didn't say coming up with some kind of New Age foolishness. I didn't say coming up with, listen, have you ever heard people say, I've read something in the Bible that I've never seen before, and I'm going to, it is not like this TD guy does. See, I hear his so-called exposition. It is insanity extraordinaire. God never does that. He doesn't work. Listen, you folk need to stop listening to these preachers, so-called. That is not, they are profaning the name of their God. Well, it's not even their God. It's my God. It's not their God. Because I would never profane the name of God by saying that the Bible means something that some of these guys says that it means. You're having problems that I mention names? Read the New Testament Scripture. And preacher, you need to get on board. Get on board. People, get ready. There's a train coming. The one that tells you to name the names. You don't need to be afraid of all them folk humming. You don't need no ticket. Just call it like it is. There it is. 2 Chronicles 29:11. Let's continue to look at this. What are some of the characteristics of godly qualifications in a godly ministry? The writer writes and says, "My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense." Now let's deal with this right now. Don't be negligent. Don't you think that the man of God should be the first one at the church getting ministry done and almost the last one leaving? What do you think about a man that's in ministry, that he's usually the last one that shows up? You know, some of these preachers, I've seen them. They show up when everybody else is there. They're not even in the church. Choir and sung about 8 songs. Nobody knows where the joker is. Nobody knows where he is. And then he comes in, and then he asks one of the young ministers in the pulpit area there to give him a Bible. Now, number one, the preacher comes up in the pulpit, doesn't have a Bible in his hand, running and just saying, "Y'all need to praise God, praise God, praise God." Has no message, anything planned. Then he asks a young minister to, we've got to say this. He did drive up to the church with his valet limo, you see, because he can't drive his own car. He got to have somebody else driving there. Then he gets up in there and asks the young minister for a Bible, and he's going to pick one verse, and then he's going to get up and read half the verse. And then what he's going to do is get the folks shouting, screaming, jumping, and bumping for the next 45 minutes. Everybody's hot, sweaty. He hasn't said anything. No biblical exposition of anything. And then after that, he said, "Oh, y'all know the Lord been here, so we're going to, hey, the Lord wants a big love offering from you now." And then he gets all the money, and then he jumps in his big stretch valet limo, takes off again, goes to his partner's church and say, "Come on, man, let's go and have steak and eggs." Well, it says, "My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord have chosen you to stand before him." And listen, I'd be afraid to stand before God after I've done that. To serve him. That's not serving his people. That's serving the people a line. And that you should minister unto him. And you notice that the ministering that the minister does is to God. So therefore, the implication is, my brothers, that when you stand before the people of God, it is just as if you're standing before God. And I have never gone to church and done something like that, but I've seen it done. Numbers chapter 16, verse 9 says, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service in the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?" Now let's deal with this. If you are a man of God, or if you think you have a man of God, has he been separated to stand before you to bring nothing less than the word of God, even in your filthy face, Christian, when you are not living up to the standard? Do you want a soothsaying preacher that will never tell you about your abominable sin? Or do you want somebody, listen, some of my brothers that's up in the prison, listen, what kind of chaplain do you want coming to visit you? Do you want the chaplain to come and visit you and say, "Listen, all you need to do is to let us lay our hands on you and all these years are going to drop off"? You know they're not going to drop off. Those years are going to be there. He's not supposed to promise you vain and hopeless energies. You, brethren, in prison, you need to say, chaplain, "Seemeth it a small thing unto you that the Lord God that started Israel hath separated you, chaplain, in the prison system from the congregation of the world to bring you near to himself to do service in this here prison? And all you coming here doing is bemoaning the fact that we won't listen to your heresy?" Oh yeah, my friends, you know whether people are doing ministry or not. Some of you listened to me last week. You listened to a group of brothers from the vet sitting here talking about heretical ministries all around this city. These people are televising that stuff all around you, and you will not take the charge and say it. You have people going to those churches. You know pastors that support these ministers. You know it. You won't say anything. You're biting in to the same, "Oh, I know it. Right, I'm on the air again tonight, deacon. I know you're listening to me right now, brother deacon. You can't stand me because I'm saying it." You know that doctrine is foolishness. You know that preacher is a fool. You know those folk have been taken in hook, line, and sinker. Oh, I know some of you pastors are listening to me now. You get a kick out of listening to me, don't you? Oh, Pastor John sure does say it. I have a tremendous question for you. What is your problem? Every week you go to church and you are shucking and jiving. Deuteronomy 32:1 says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." This is God saying, I have a word from you. What is the issue tonight? The issue tonight is, what is the difference between the character of a qualified man of God that is going to say it like it is, and that man that will not say it like it is? You can call us if you wish. That number again, we would love to hear from you, is 1-888-528-2557. This is Pastor John. You're listening to the Olivet Discourses, and we'll be back after this word.
Ready to study the Word of God and no place to go? Let me give you the rundown of the weekly Bible studies at the Olivet Baptist Church, the biblical alternative. Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m. This class is led by Brother Al Negron, head of Christian education. Then at 11 a.m., it's Sunday morning service, led by Senior Pastor John Coleman. Sunday night lectures start at 7 p.m. The topics in this study challenge the thinking Christian to apply the biblical precepts to their daily living. Tuesday at 7 p.m. is the bi-weekly women's Bible study. That's led by Sister Gladys Monroe. Thursday is the bi-weekly men's Bible study group that meets from 7 to 9 p.m. Currently, this class is covering the intricacies of apologetics. On the alternating weeks, Tuesday afternoon is the senior citizens Bible study group. Then later at 7 p.m., Brother Al Negron teaches the general Bible study group. Then on Thursday evening at 7 p.m., Pastor John leads the general discipleship class. The Olivet Baptist Church is located at 310 West 95th Street in Los Angeles. The zip is 9003. For more information and directions to the Olivet Baptist Church, call 213-242-8388. That's 213-242-8388. We hope you will join us for the study of God's Word on one or all of these days.
And indeed we do. Thank you, Chandler. Dr. Carius Brooks of the Anointed Waters Counseling Service would like to inform you that there will be a free seminar scheduled. It is called the Super Bowl Seminars. It will be held Saturday, January 25th, 1997. And it will be held in the wonderful city of El Segundo. The address is 525 North Sepulveda Boulevard in El Segundo. There will be two meetings. The women will meet at 4 p.m. and the men will meet at 7 p.m. Guess what the topic is? You won't believe this. How to overcome the female brain syndrome. What is that? Ah, my friends, the female brain syndrome is something that many Christian men have. They think, they respond, they react like females in situations when they should respond like men. I strongly advise you to attend that seminar. And on February 9th, the day after my birthday, February 8th, at the Greater Bethany Community Church, Dr. Brooks will be there with a married couple's retreat, rekindling our eternal love. Now, if you want more information about this, you can call Dr. Brooks at the Anointed Waters Ministries at area code 213-755-9901. All right, let's get back to our study. And as we get back to the study, we are, well, as a matter of fact, we have someone calling, Art from Whittier. Hello, Art, and thank you for calling the Discourses. Let's talk about the character of godly qualifications.
Okay, well, I wanted to just talk to all the leaders out there as well as, you and myself. And I guess the thing I wanted to exhort everybody as far as being a leader or a servant of the Lord and being obedient is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. And this says, servant, that we must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. And I thought that was important that it said to be gentle to all, regardless of who they are. And it says, you know, to be patient. And we need to be humble, correcting those that are in opposition. And maybe God will grant them repentance so they'll know the truth. And I mentioned that, you know, kind of like, because I listened to your show last week, and I know that one of the callers called up and said he thanked the Lord for Frederick Price. And I remember all of you guys had laughed at him, and I didn't think that was, you know, very kind. But
we weren't laughing at the person that called in, nor were we laughing at Fred. We were laughing because of what the implication of his call was. He was saying that the man needs prayer, and we laughed because we thought that his call would be something admonishing us to exonerate this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did is he kind of reversed it a little bit, and it amused us because the guy's a heretic. You see, and so since the guy's a heretic, and I'm going to take your same two verses, and it says, you know, the Lord's bondservant must not be, it didn't say not quarrel, but quarrelsome. And when you look at that term in the Greek, it means that he cannot be a person that is easily enticed into a fight. But he must be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. And then it says, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Now, when someone has been corrected over the years, right, as Jesus in his ministry attempted to do to those violent Pharisees that had really ripped off the kingdom of God for themselves, because if you really look at the crucifixion of Jesus when it came to that time, they said, look, we got to get this guy out of the way because he's taken the kingdom from us. And this is what religious people do. You see, religious people that are not godly people, that are not living under those godly restrictions or qualifications, they have to rip off the kingdom because that's how they seduce people's minds. Religion is a terrible thing, because what religion does is it seduces the mind of its adherents. Whereas true biblical Christianity is not as many suppose. I recall I was watching a movie, and some clips from a movie, and they had that abominable movie, The Last Temptation of Christ. There was a particular scene where they had Jesus there apologizing to Mary Magdalene for a so-called sexual thing that he had with her. And when I saw that scene on television, I said, that is strictly the world's approach of Jesus. Some bumbling, crying, begging, apologizing Messiah that can't handle the world. No, 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 no. I would love to ask my listening audience to go to the book of Revelation, because whenever I go to the book of Revelation, I see another Jesus in the book of Revelation. I see another Jesus when John says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, and then he talks about what he saw. And in verse 13 he says, in the middle of the lampstands was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a robe reaching to his feet, and girded across his breast with a golden girdle. Now look what he says in verse 14. And his hair was white like wool and like snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in the furnace, and his voice was like a sound of many waters. That's Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not see Christ as this pansy, weak, let's everybody get along and become ecumenicalized, or whatever they say. Let us all just drop all of our different beliefs, and because we mention the name of Christ, we are one. No, that is humanism, pantheism, worldlyism. We are not one. No one can be one if he speaks and sounds like a heretic. And the true Christian knows what heresy sounds like. I believe that in the secular field, if a person is working in the engineering field, and someone, let's say, makes a big mistake in the engineering field. Well, let me give you a classic example. I think most of my listening audience could relate to it. It was a great movie. I liked it. It was called The Towering Inferno. If you recall that movie, it was a great building being built in San Francisco, but some guys tried to shortcut that thing, man. We're going to save some money, and we're going to build this huge building. Man, I'm cutting the cost for the boss, and everybody was there partying and having a good time. Had the mayor of the city and all the dignitaries and all the rich hobnobs and all of them. And they went on up to the penthouse suite and they was partying big time. Drinking, committing adultery on each other and doing all that stuff. And look at this, look at this. But you see, it blew up on them. Because when they turned on all the lights and everything, the wiring started burning up. And that sucker started to burn and all them fools started to scream. Pastor John in the Olivet Discourses is kind of like that. We're saying, warning, warning, church, warning, you're overloaded.
Right.
And what's happened, my dear brother, is that these preachers have overloaded the church with their foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in terms of your scripture on correcting those that oppose themselves, if perhaps God would grant them repentance, let me share something with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that God is the one that calls a person into salvation, or that the person calls himself? What do you believe?
No, I think God chooses.
All right. Now, do you think that God chose a man to be a heretic?
I don't think so.
Oh, good. Right. Since God does not choose men to be heretics, who does?
The man.
No.
Okay, say it again.
Since God does not choose a man to be a heretic, who does?
Why don't you answer that for me?
The devil. Satan.
Okay.
Satan empowers the heretic.
Okay.
Satan does. See, I have a tape, you know, where somebody was talking about, heretic hunters be gone. I'm no heretic hunter. I don't have to hunt you.
Mm-hmm.
Their language speaks for itself. It is unbiblical. It denies true godliness.
Mm-hmm.
So I am gentle with people, all right. I am gentle with the flock, with the sheep, but I am not gentle with Satan's agents that disguise themselves as agents of light.
So you see that in verse 24, that gentle to all is just believers? You don't see it outside of...
Gentle to all when they warrant gentleness.
When they warrant gentleness.
When they warrant gentleness.
Okay. I think something too interesting in verse 25 is that humility correcting those who are in a position, because I know that we've all, as babes in Christ, when we first came to know the Lord, whatever it was, that at some point in time we were ignorant to knowing as we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, we're ignorant to some point as we first become believers, and I think that's why it's important that we need to be humble, knowing that, you know, to right off the bat call someone a heretic.
Oh, Art, that sounds good. Can I respond to that? Man, that's a great...
Yeah, discussion. Because someone may be genuinely wrong. Like, I believe that some of those people in the Frederick Price Church or wherever, you know, it's...
Well, let me share that. Let me respond to that. And I think that I do. And not just this church, because, brother, there's a lot of Baptist churches and other kind of churches, you know, man. You got New Age that's come into many mainline churches now, man. You know, you got people... You know, like recently I listened to a tape and they got people, he is in the trees, he is in the water, he is in the rocks, and he is in the grass. You know, that's pantheism. That's all that is. God is not in all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that in Baptist churches. So let's not just, you know, name that on the word faith people.
Okay,
that's all over, man. You know, pantheism and humanism has creeped in everything. And some of these folk that are listening to the radio station tonight, you know it's true, especially you humanists. Those of you humanists that are working in the L.A. Unified School District, because you got some of these folk teaching in your seminars, teaching your teachers, teaching our children. Hopefully not my children, thank God. If I had children and if I had some money, I would not let them go through that school system. That is ridiculous. But our parents don't even attend PTA meetings anymore, so they don't know what's going on. I believe, Art, that it's crept so quietly into the church that what there has to be now are individuals in the church that will speak out adamantly against it and take a stand. So, yes, we do laugh at people that are completely out of their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. And we don't think that that is not being gentle and loving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it tickles me that anyone can believe that because they're a Christian, they're not supposed to be sick. we had a lady call and said the two women had cancer in the early stages.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You remember that? Now, I think that's a tragedy that other young woman died because she listened to her so-called pastor. That was a deceiving heretic.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman probably would have been alive today if she had gone to a doctor. And,
sure.
And I have one of these preachers on tape literally telling people on a radio station years ago when I was a younger Christian, well, now I'm not going to tell you what to do, but it all, you know, depends upon whether you have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't do Christianity like that.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? And so it's not that we're, you know, tearing into these people. What we're doing is we're speaking to the church to get the church to use their brains.
Sure. Well, I believe that you can be adamant but still be gentle at the same time.
Well, yeah, I sure can.
If someone is listening to your show to really... to grow in the grace and knowledge, and they happen to be going to one of these churches that's teaching heresy,
good.
and they're labeled heretic, I could see that possibly as a dangerous, drawing them further away because you've come name calling right away, and then to laugh, to hear laughing. I just exhort you to have caution. You know.
Well, I'm not going to take caution. I throw your exhortation to the wind. It means nothing to me, and I tell those people that are there, I'm doing that for their own safety. They're listening to a godly pastor who knows what he's talking about, and if they remain in there, they are involved in a heretical ministry, and I have no sympathy for them. And in the final judgment, they will all be judged for where they are. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the inevitable question is, if you know that someone is preaching improper doctrine, all right, I'm going to end up with this. Do you think the person should stay in that ministry?
Oh, no, not at all.
So, therefore, you would admonish them to get out, right?
Yes, but it's the way I would do it.
How would you tell them to get out?
Well, I would be adamant, and I would definitely be... very upfront.
And what if they wouldn't get out? What would you tell them then?
Oh, I'd probably be in a lot of prayer for them.
No, I wouldn't be in prayer. I would say, you indignant heathen, stay there. Misery loves company. You think you're going to get a Rolls Royce too, and that's the only reason that you're there, because you want what he has.
Yeah. Well,
you see what I mean?
Yeah, and we're different in that way then.
I would still
hope that they would escape the snare of the devil.
They will not be able to escape it unless they flee. You know, the Bible commands us to flee.
Mm-hmm.
You see, how can you escape the snares of the devil if you're not willing to flee? And if you're not willing to confront the heretic? Thank you, Art, for your call. It's
okay.
Been great talking.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye now. Let's continue to look at some scriptures here. Hey, listen, you folks want to join in to the dialogue? We would love to hear from you. Isn't this a good subject matter to start off the first Sunday of the year? 1-888-528-2557. That's 1-888-LA-TALKS. And you can speak with us about that. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35 says that I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. Listen to this. God says, I'm going to let you know what I think about godly men. I will raise up faithful priests. The implication of 1 Samuel 2:35 is that there are some priests in the land that were unfaithful. In the very same way, God desires to raise up faithful pastors, faithful teachers, who shall do according to that which is in God's heart and in God's mind, and God will build him a sure house. My dear brothers and sisters, the essence of our Christianity must be in those things that God does. Oh, I know some of you think that, oh, John, you're crazy. This is you doing this, man. No. 1 Samuel 12:7 says, now therefore stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord of all righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. He's saying, stand still. Someone is asking me to clarify what I meant by Satan choosing heretics. All right. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and you'll see exactly the way it happens. Paul writes, and it says, well, let me start at verse 3, and it says, and even if our gospel is veiled or hid, it is veiled or hid to those who are perishing. You know who are perishing. Christians can't be perishing. Sinners perish. Foolish people. And then it says, in whose case is that? The fools that are perishing. The God of this world. This is small g. That is not God in heaven, Jehovah. That's Satan. I even heard a preacher out there in that big glass house talk about his New Year's resolution, said that he's not going to say anything negative. He said, everything that I see this year is positive. Everything that I want is positive. I'm not going to say anything negative. I'm going to think about good things. I'm not going to think about anything that's harmful. And that, man, you cannot. This man is a heretic. You can't preach nothing but the positive gospel. There is no such thing as a positive gospel. I'm sorry, I didn't finish the verse. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. You all listen to me, and you listen good. Satan has an ultimate purpose on this planet, and it is to retain and to keep your minds blinded. Why? That they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, do you guys think this is a positive or a negative verse? Well, I'm not going to preach anything negative. I would ask Robert to preach that one, and I would ask him to tell me what and who are the blinded minds of the stupid unbelieving. I cannot believe that a preacher coming on nationwide television would say such ridiculous things and have so many people following him, looking at him every Sunday morning. There is no power in that hour. And you don't have a football player setting up on that thing, especially a black one, trying to get through to me to talk about positivity. Folks, all you got to do is read the news in the past couple of days about football players and positivity. We need to repent, church. Repent from our debauched sin. Oh, I know. We don't hear stuff like that because, see, we want to go to a positive ministry. We want to go somewhere where somebody is affirming our foolishness and our sinfulness. No, you need to get your head in this Bible and let God do something to that depraved, dead mind of yours and stop shucking and jiving. Let's go to another scripture here. Oh, Pastor John, take it easy. You know these people can't take stuff like that. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 41 says, now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord, O thy Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. Here's the inevitable question. Are your preachers clothed in salvation or clothed in health, wealth, and success, and money, and positivity, and don't get sick, and everybody's going to be happy, and everything's going to be all right? You shut up! It tells me right here that the Lord God would clothe the preacher with salvation and let the saints rejoice in goodness. It's not goodness, all this foolishness that we hear in our pulpits. When are you people, listen, you people went to church this morning, oh, this is a wonderful year, and God told me that everything's going to be all right, and let's just get on up and praise Him for the promise that He gave us. And the organist went, doo-doo-doo-doo. And everybody got up and y'all jumped for 25 minutes. Ow! Jumped all around, throwing your wigs to the right and to the left, jumping through the windows of pews. Everybody's doing that. Look at here. Let me tell you something. This verse says right here that thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Do you know what salvation means? Safety from the debauchery of erroneous doctrine. Man, I can't believe this. Hi, Willie. Thanks for calling us from Compton. How you doing tonight?
This is Willie from Compton.
I know it is, Willie. I'm so glad that you called. Can you loan me $20, Willie?
Well, I would love to loan you $20.
But wait a minute. If you loan me the $20, would you come to get it back? Would you come to get the $20 back, Willie?
I would not come personally. I would make sure that I got somebody to go get it back.
Wait a minute. But if you loan me the money and you believe in the prosperity gospel, why don't you just not loan me the money but give it to me and say, John, I don't even want it back?
Well, why don't you call God yourself and get it from him?
Well, wait a minute. Since you believe, listen, no, I want God to let you put it in my hands. Since you believe in the prosperity gospel, I tell you what you do. Why don't you make me prosperous and give me $20?
The last man that did that was Pam Hammond on the 3rd Street Promenade, and I wouldn't give him no money in Ohio.
You mean to tell me that you saw a panhandler that needed some money?
No,
and you would not give that panhandler money.
No, ma'am. He didn't.
But wait a minute. But if Fred said, I need another new rose, and if you do this, would you buy into that ministry? Just say yes or no.
You use misconstruction.
I'm not No, it's misconstrued is a word. But it is yes or no. Would you give Fred the offering?
No.
All right.
Listen to me. Can I make my point?
You can, will you?
Okay.
Sure you can.
He did not need, the homeless man did not need that money. He wanted that money. And the reason he does not have the money is because he was not believing in God.
Was the homeless man even called of God?
Well, if he believed in God...
Wait a minute. What kind of belief are you talking about? Are you talking about the intellectual ascent of the mind?
I'm talking about Dr. Oral Roberts. I'm talking about Benny Hinn. R.W. Shambaugh, Tanner Falk.
And I'm not even going to cut you off, man. I'm going to let you go ahead and talk. Go ahead, man. Go ahead and mention them heretics. Because, man, you mentioned the whole group of them. Did you know that all those guys that you just mentioned are completely out of their bagooza when it comes to the Word of God?
I believe that they are the apostles that are going to take us into the 21st century of religion.
All right, well, listen, I thank you for your opinion.
One other thing.
God bless you. Bye-bye. He called me a big black Negro. That's what he called me, and I didn't cut him off the ear because if anybody knows me, I'm not big and I'm not that dark, but I am black. Hallelujah. Thank you, Willie, for your call, and I think that you have just demonstrated to the radio audience what biblical Christianity is not, and that's why I did not cut you off. I want that to go out on the air because if that's what the prosperity gospel produces, my friends, you played right into the biblical preacher's hand. Now, let me go on into the next verse right here and read it since I can't believe it. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now, let me share something with you right now. You see, when the preacher's heart is prepared by the Lord to teach the statutes and judgments, those are the kind of responses and reactions that you get. I prompt that kind of hatred because I am giving what God says. Now, let me respond to those of you that tend to the prosperity, the loving of money and the loving of things. I would hope that for a good week that all the power would go off everywhere. No gas, no nothing, and we would be relegated back to the Stone Age for about a week in this country. And I believe that if we continue to sin on the basis that we are, God is going to relegate this whole blooming country back to the Stone Age before that time. But if we were relegated back to the Stone Age mentality, where you couldn't drive your new Lexuses, you wouldn't have your Trinitron computers and all of this stuff, this, you know, these gadgets that make us think that, you know, we are more than we are, we would depend and trust in God like we never have before. And trust me, in an economy where there is no money, get this, the prosperity gospel would never make leeway. In an economy where money was not the means of exchange, the prosperity gospel would not work. I'm loving it. Thank you, Willie. I love that call, man. Let's go to another scripture. And I kind of like this one right here. Let me go into this one. Let me see. Psalm chapter 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. The Lord gives the word, and great are the company of godly leaders and pastors that publish it. And when they publish it, they come against the heretics and the fools and the rude and cruel name-calling people that do not have the love of Christ in their hearts. And listen, friends, I really do love you believers out there. And I want you believers to know that every verse that I am mentioning are scriptures. That is what we're to go to. The Lord gave the word, and the company of those that publish it was great. Now, the Lord has given the word tonight. Are you publishing it? Or are you in denial of it? Does his word anger you? What did you tune in to hear on the discourses tonight? Did you tune in to hear some soothsaying preacher that's going to tell you how beautiful you are? Did you tune in so that you could hear some preacher tell you that 1997, your luck is going to turn around and everything is going to happen? Did you tune in to hear some chump give you some chump change mentality so that your subjective, relativistic, sinful, debauched mindset can go off on a hypothetical brainscape instead of abiding into the scriptures of God? Well, you tune into the wrong show. You need to turn into Peter Popoff. I wonder, does he still have his Popoff ministry? Well, let me give you Proverbs 11:30, since we don't want to name names, do we? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. What's being won in your church? Souls? My pocketbooks. What is the main criterion that the preacher is after on Sunday morning when you go to church? Souls or more money for their retirements? What is the main objective of the Christian church in most of our churches on Sunday mornings? Are they souls who need salvation, or is it people that just want more stuff to heap upon themselves? Oh yeah. You Christians, you're going to answer that question. As a matter of fact, you preachers sitting out there, what was your cry today? We need to pass the basket again. I know the Lord told me that there's another $100 out there. No, it's not. You fleeced the flock. Yeah, the number to call is 1-888-LA-TALKS. I'm not going to hang up on you either. I'm going to let you demonstrate what your Christian life is all about. As a matter of fact, someone has told me that we have more ungodly people listening to this Christian program than godly people. And you know, it's some ungodly people cracking up tonight when they hear the Christian call and crack on the pastor. They say, wait a minute, this man has given the word of God to Christians and listen to them crack on the pastor. Listen to how they treat the godly man. Hey, listen, for those of you that are not believers, let me share something with you. Years ago, Christianity had purpose and meaning. But now, with so many New Agers in the church, you know, they blended in the mantra and the yantra and the yoga and the boga and the Buddha and everybody else in there. And so now they have all this stuff in the church that actually nobody knows right from wrong. That's why when you go to church and the preacher talks about money, nobody gets offended, because they think that the church is nothing but a place to launder money. Yes, and that's not what it's like. Let me give you another scripture. I think this one is fine. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then I said, woe is me. As a matter of fact, I want to start at the beginning of these verses right here. You know, that's the Isaiah 6 and 1. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Listen to this. And above it stood the seraphims, each one having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. This angel was heavily equipped. I guess you can call him Super Fly if you want to. All right? And when you continue to look at this, it says in verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. You know, you don't hear that too much in churches today. These seraphims in the temple crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. Not now. And then it says, the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. See, that's when God entered into sanctuaries, things happened. They didn't have to speak with tongues. The angels spoke in their language. And then said I, this is the preacher, woe is me. See, he's not like a lot of these preachers today now saying, I am God. I am God. No, you're not. You should say like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. Do you hear preachers saying that now? And then he says, because I am a man of unclean lips. Now, some of you may say, John Coleman, you are. Hey, I repent. I am. And I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. If I go to church with you, misery breeds contempt. And then, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, check out what happens in verse 6, church, because I think this is what needs to happen to many of us in our community. And I'm not picking on anybody, but it says, then flew one of the seraphims to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it on my mouth. Now, see, some folk need a hot rock laid on their mouth from the words that they use. Let the church say amen. And he touched my lips, and thine iniquity was taken away, and my sin was purged. And look at verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Listen to this. Who am I going to send? In other words, Israel was totally debauched, going all crazy. You know, Jack Street, Jumbo Land. No woman. And God is saying, who can I send, and who will go for us? Here's God is saying, I'm giving the plea for a real preacher. If there's a real preacher in the room, will he stand up? Look what happened. Then said I, here I am, send me. Now, you know, here's the problem in many of our churches today. God is calling, and somebody's just looking at how much he's going to get paid. No, I didn't hear the preacher say how much you're paying. Is it going to be successful? Is it all going to be positive? Am I ever going to get sick? Because do you know what biblical history says of Isaiah? It says that they put this old boy in a log and sawed him in half for his message. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Before we go to a break, let's take a call. We got Steve calling in from Hawthorne. Hello, Steve.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hey, it's Pastor John.
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I heard Frederick Price on one day, and he said, if you're not successful, if you're not wealthy, you really don't believe in God, or your faith isn't strong.
Sure.
And I just wanted to say that none of the apostles were rich men. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor. It's what's in your heart that he cares about.
It has never been about materialism. Christianity. Christianity, Steve, has only become a materialistic faith in this modern 20th century era. Because what we've done is certain people have looked at Christianity and said, man, you can make some money behind this stuff. People are basically stupid.
Yeah, that guy, that Willie guy called, he's thinking about that, you know, that what Frederick Press says. It's if you're not
the bottom line is that the scripture says, my brothers, that they want what they want. That is why they go that way. You see, people propagate that because they have the same desires that the teacher has. You see,
yeah.
Since I'm pastoring the church, you would have to ask, why do the people that I pastor attend Olivet? They want what I have. This is what it says in 2 Peter, before we go to the break, 2 Peter chapter 2. But false prophets are also among the people, just as there will be false prophets or teachers amongst you, who shall secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality. See, that's what it is. It's nothing but sensuality. And because of them, the way of the truth, that's what I'm speaking, will be maligned. And in their greed, that's what it says in verse 3, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment not long ago is not idle. That's what God says. And their destruction is not asleep. Now that's the word of God alone. That is not Pastor John. Hey, listen, Steve, thanks for the call.
All right.
God bless you, Steve. Can you believe the first hour is gone already? You folk want to call? All the lines are flashing. 1-888-LA-TALKS. This is Pastor John Coleman, Senior Pastor, Olivet Baptist Church in Los Angeles, and you're listening to the Olivet Discourses. Why don't you call us? We'll be back shortly.
Wow, that was a great radio presentation, but unfortunately I can't find the second hour tape, so that'll have to be it. Hey, listen, thank you for listening to the archive series. I love doing it then. I love listening to it now. God bless you.